This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. There are lots of places to debate today's issues, if you don't mind getting attacked for speaking your mind or asking a simple question. But 1A is different. We provide a safe, smart place for tough conversations every weekday, and we review the week's top stories in our Friday news roundup. You'll find the 1A podcast on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Ophira.
Today on Ask Me Another, we're playing a game where you have to guess if a museum we describe is real or fake. So speed round, real or fake, there's a museum in Pittsburgh where you can play air hockey against a robot.
Yeah, that sounds real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next, how about a museum in San Jose that has a virtual reality simulator where you can fly like a bird above New York City?
Yeah, sounds real to me.
Yep, indeed it is. And here's the last one. There's an art museum where visitors politely appreciate the art instead of taking selfies with it.
that's fake.
Yeah,
that's totally fake. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. We've got a great show for you. Four brilliant contestants are backstage talking in 280 characters. They're here to play our nerdy games, but only one will be our big winner. And our special guest today is Mojan Marno from the NBC series The Blacklist, where she plays Samar Navabi, a FBI operative with a shadowy past. Mojan also does a lot of voice work, including a character in the video game Skyrim. Turns out, actually, a lot of celebrities have appeared in video games. Kristen Bell is in Assassin's Creed. Elijah Wood is the voice of Spyro the Dragon. And I got to tell you, I got in on it, too. I don't mean to brag, but I am the voice of the rectangle in Pong. Yes, I dated the ball for a little while, but it didn't work out. It was a rebound relationship. Our first two contestants will play a game about museums, or as I like to call them, culturally acceptable hoarder houses. Let's meet them. First up, Giacomo Santangelo on buzzer number one. You're an economics professor at Fordham University. Welcome.
It's good to be here.
Your opponent is Mihail Etropolsky on buzzer number two. You hit people with swords for a living, by which I mean you're a fencing instructor. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Giacomo and Mihail, the first of you who wins two of our games will go on to our final round. Let's start with a guessing game called Closed Mondays. Jonathan and I will give you the name and description of a museum. You just need to tell us if it's real or made up. We're going to go back and forth, so no need to buzz in. Here we go. Giacomo, say aloha on your way in and out of the Museum of Hawaiian Shirts in Honolulu, with over 35,000 colorful shirts in its collection, including signed pieces from Weird Al Yankovic. Real or fake?
Real.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is fake. It sounds so cheap and easy to put together.
Mihail, tour delicious curated meat exhibits at the Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota. The Spam Museum features spambassadors handing out free samples of spam. Real or fake?
Fake.
No, that's real. That's a real museum.
I hope everyone's rethinking their career choices, knowing now that you could be a spambassador.
Yeah.
That is a possibility.
It might be too late if you haven't gone to the right schools.
Giacomo, yodelehi who? Yodelehi you at the Museum of Yodeling in Interlaken, Switzerland. Real or fake?
Real.
I'm sorry, that is fake. Come on, what's going to be in the Museum of Yodeling?
Some Ricola candy.
Ricola candy. It's just an advertisement for Ricola, really. The Ricola Museum of Yodeling.
Mihail, hitch yourself to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the International Towing Museum, honoring tow trucks and the people who operate them, real or fake.
Oh, come on. Well, they're pretty big on their trains down there, right? So I don't know if they want to honor trucks. I'm going to say fake.
No, that's real.
Oh.
I know.
The full name of the museum is the Towing and Recovery Hall of Fame.
Here are your last clues. Giacomo, tired of museums that only display good art? No problem. Visit the Museum of Bad Art in Boston, real or fake? I know.
Real.
Yes, that is real. The paintings include Blue Lady with iPod and spewing Rubik's Cubes. A Yelp review did say it wasn't bad enough. You can't win.
Mihail, if you love museums, you will love the Museum in Oslo. The collection houses blueprints, artifacts, and scale models of the world's greatest museums. So you can see the Louvre, the Guggenheim, and the Prado in less than an hour. Real or fake?
Real.
I'm sorry, that is fake.
Oh, yeah. No.
I know.
It's a great idea for a museum, and I would totally go, but yeah. It is fake.
It's also called the Internet.
Yeah, that's right. Puzzle guru Art Chung, how did our contestants do?
It was a close game. Giacomo, well done. You're one step closer to our final round.
Next, we'll play a game about television episodes that show off which actors can sing and which can be made to sing. But first, let's check in with our contestants. Giacomo, you teach a class on the economics of movies. So what does that look at?
All too often when people talk about economics or any basic behavioral science, you bore the hell out of your students by going over so many dry facts when if the behavioral science makes sense, you should be able to see it in life. So I make my students sit for 3 hours a day, for a week, for a month, watching various popular films.
Okay, so which one is a perfect film to watch in an economics class?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Sure.
Sleeping Beauty. The original 1959 Disney film.
Sleeping Beauty. I have not reviewed the story in a while.
Okay.
So what are we dealing with the economics there?
Well, in the beginning of the film, because Maleficent is not invited to the party, she curses Aurora. And in order to save his daughter, the king burns all of the spinning wheels in the entire kingdom, thus casting the entire kingdom into poorness. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Which by itself goes against John Stuart Mill's utilitarianism, which is the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah, well, I was going to start by saying that, but I'm glad you did. Mihail, if I wanted to take up fencing, what life lessons would I learn?
Well, there's always a way out of something. If there's a situation that's not favorable, if you fail, you can obviously learn from that and you can correct it for next time that happens and kind of improve your situation. Because in a fencing match, you know, if one action doesn't work, then usually the opposite of that action will have worked. Also known as the George Costanza method.
When I think of sports and fencing, I always go to the George Costanza method. Okay, so I like the idea that there's always a way out. So yeah, you're sort of problem solving the whole time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Critical thinking, I guess, if you want to summarize it, that's what it teaches.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to your next game. We have an audio quiz for you called Say It With a Song. Every so often, a television program decides to come up with an excuse to make everyone break into song. So you just need to ring in and identify the television show. Giacomo, you won the last game, so you win this, and you go right to the final round. Mihail, you need to win this, or you have to be Giacomo's understudy. Here's your first clip.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory, some kid is dreaming, and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
Giacomo.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, that's correct. They were always raising the stakes on that show. Here's your next one. When the hero of this program is trapped by the music meister in a dream, he must make it to the end without dying.
Super friend. When it comes to buddies, pal, you're the best.
I love you more than the lightning bolt I wear on my chest.
Giacomo.
Batman. It was actually called Beware the Batman, Brave and the Bold, and Neil Patrick Harris played the music meister.
It feels like your answer is perfect, but it is not correct.
No?
No. I feel like you know more about your answer that I would like to explore. It's not what we were looking for, but let's put a pause on that. Mikhail, can you steal?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Can I guess again?
Can you guess again? I mean, not for a point, but you
can. But can I guess anyway?
Why not?
Is it The Flash?
Yeah, that's the answer, yeah. In this special episode, the Oswald State Correctional Facility puts on a musical variety show.
Look, it's time to face the music. Bye-bye.
Giacomo.
Oz.
Oz is correct. Yes. Mikhail, how you doing? Just checking in.
I wish I hadn't had those kids to get in the way of my TV watching.
Preach it, brother.
Let's see about this next one. A visit to the land of Illusia helps mend the differences between our hero and her good friend, Gabrielle. Of course, all in song.
This damaged past can never heal. Until this nightmare book is closed.
Giacomo?
Xena, warrior princess.
That is correct, yes. Mikhail, you knew that one?
Yeah, that was the one I knew.
All right, this is your last clue. In this sitcom, a hospital patient suffers an aneurysm, causing her to hear and see everyone break into song.
You belong at Sacred. Doctors, nurses, patients, dead guys, welcome to Sacred.
Giacomo.
Scrubs.
That is correct, yes. Puzzleker Archung, how did our contestants do?
Well done, Giacomo. You won both games, and you're headed to the final round.
Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Giacomo in our final round, and we'll talk to actor Mojan Marno and ask her if playing an operative on television has made her more suspicious about life. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Art Chung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It is time to introduce our special guest. She plays Samar Navabi on The Blacklist on NBC. Please welcome Mojan Marno. Hi, thanks so much for coming on Ask Me Another. It's such a pleasure.
I'm so excited.
And this was a big day. You were shooting today.
We were shooting our 100th episode.
Yeah. So, and was there a celebration?
There was. There was a big cake that nobody ate. it had a big picture of James Spader's face on it. And we, like, stuck a knife in it, but nobody put it in their mouth.
Yeah. That's a big deal. This is a long-running television show.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting.
And you play Samar Navabi, a Mossad operative, on this wildly popular show, but you were a fan of the show before you were on it.
Yeah.
You watched it.
I came on the second season, and all throughout the first season, I was auditioning for random guest stars on the show, and so I usually watch a show that I'm auditioning for, and so I started watching it for that reason, and then I got hooked on it. And then at some point towards the end of the season, they like slit the throat of the ethnic chick, and I was like, oh, they're gonna be hiring more ethnics. Slip in there. And then, so I called my manager and I was like, they killed the Indian girl on Blacklist. And she's like, uh-huh. And I was like, so, you know, they're watch out for it. And then like 2 months later, I had an audition. And
it worked out.
Yeah.
So when your character, Samar, was introduced, she was very mysterious.
And still is.
Yeah, but we're finding little by little more and more about her. Did you do research on this character, or are you just sliding in and, like, figuring it out?
I did research about what Mossad training would be and also what FBI training would be. And they have like, experts and specialists to help you out with that on the show and sort of hanging around our set telling us, like, no, that don't hold the gun like that. That looks dumb. So, and then I talked a lot with the showrunners about what they envisioned for her, and then we kind of came up with a joint idea for her background.
Okay, so you were part of that process.
Yeah, I think, well, originally they had thought, I mean, it was a logical conclusion that a Mossad agent would be from Israel, and then they cast me, and my parents are Iranian, and I'm Iranian-American, so they thought, like, oh, that's cool, we'll just use your actual background. So then there was a bit of a kerfuffle because they wanted me to be Iranian but also Mossad agent, so we kind of figured that out.
And do you have any input on your character arc going forward?
Not so much,
no. How would you like your character to develop through the show?
I think it's always interesting when you get to play a lot of different shades of a person. So we've seen her for many seasons be very tough and very hard to read. And I think it would be fun to get to explore more of her vulnerabilities. And also maybe, like, you know, maybe she gets wild.
Maybe. I like that.
I mean, I'm sure she drinks.
Why not? So in addition to acting, you write screenplays, and one of your screenplays was turned into an actual piece of theater called When the Lights Went Out, which was about your experience in 2003 in New York City when there was this blackout, which I remember.
Oh, yeah?
So what was it about your experience that you were like, this needs to be a piece of work?
Well, it was a remarkable night in New York, and it was in 2003, and it was in August, and it was one of the hottest days of the summer, and then there was suddenly this entire blackout throughout the Northeast, and it turned into a block party. And I remember walking the streets with a friend of mine the whole night, and there were homeless men sleeping next to businessmen in the park. And everybody only had the money that they had in their pockets because ATM cards didn't work and credit cards didn't work.
Right.
So that sort of leveled the playing field economically in a really interesting way. And so that was the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what if there's a romance? And what if there's a couple who hates each other and they're stuck with each other all night? And then some immigrants. And then, you know, that was what happened.
Very cool. And also, you're working on a screenplay that is called Yalda. Can you tell us about what that is?
Yeah, so I've written a screenplay that I'm going to direct, and it's about an Iranian family splintered after the revolution, told in three perspectives, one from the perspective of the daughter, who's Iranian-American, based on I have no idea who. And and that's present-day Los Angeles. And then the second part is sort of the whole story told from the mother's perspective in the 70s, starting from the 70s in Tehran. And then the third act is the entire story of the family, but from the father's perspective, and he emigrated to Sweden.
And this is autobiographical.
I mean, it's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some other people's stories. It's fiction, yeah.
Another thing that I really like is that you participate in something called the 52nd Street Project. So this is a program that casts actors in plays written and directed by 10-year-olds?
Yeah, they're between 10 and 13, and they teach kids how to write and act, and you know, and so this particular thing that I'm doing right now actually is they take the kids away on a retreat, they write a play, a 10-minute play, and then they cast professional actors to be in them, and then they have a professional director, and we bring the 10-year-olds play to life, and it's extraordinary. It's so funny.
So you are getting into the brain of a 10-year-old.
It's extraordinary.
Okay.
The girls' plays are so much more sophisticated than the boys' plays. The girls' plays are all about, you know, how do we socially interact with each other? They're about stereotypes, and they're so deep and so emotional, and all the guys are like dragon fights and swords and stabbing each other, and... There was this, I have to just say this, there was this one play that I will never forget, that it was these two girls, and one was the brainy girl and one was the beautiful girl. And the brainy girl was secretly beautiful, and the beautiful girl was secretly brainy, but they both knew they couldn't be both. Right? And I was like, what are we doing to our girls?
I know,
what are we doing to our young girls? Yes, I was, but it's profound, right?
It's
That's
totally
it's
profound.
Stuck with me.
So you put on Instagram a page from your own 9-year-old diary.
I did.
So you, first of all, you kept a diary when you were 9 years old?
I kept a diary from age 8 till about 22. And then I took a 10-year break, and then at 32, started writing in my journal again.
So when you were 9, what did you write about?
It was like, why I like John. And then the next week it was like pros and cons of John. And the week after that it was like why I hate John. And why doesn't John like me? I was like, girl, he didn't like you. I was reading through it and I was like, why was I wondering whether or not he liked me? Anyway.
What about Eric H? Ooh. He was in the page on
the Instagram.
Oh my
God, he was. And he liked me and I didn't like him. Ugh. I have learned nothing.
All right. Are you ready to play an Ask Me Another challenge?
I am, but I'm nervous.
No, you'll be fine.
Okay.
Everyone, give her a hand. Mojan Marna. So in addition to acting, writing, Instagramming your journal, you narrate audiobooks.
I do.
Okay, so how did you get into that?
I like all actors, we are always scrambling to figure out how to, you know, pay our bills and live. And this was one of them. This was a great way. And I met a guy at a party in LA who was like the Robert De Niro of audiobooks.
Yeah.
he was like a very successful audiobook narrator. And I asked him how I could get involved. And I guess so many people asked him that he had a Word doc prepared for this question.
Oh my God.
And he just emailed it to me. And it was like, you have to make a demo and then you have to like cart it around to all these audiobook conferences. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's
yeah.
bananas.
Sounds like so,
so
much work.
I left it completely alone. And then a year later, he emailed me and was like, there's an audition for an audiobook about, it was a YA novel set in Afghanistan. And I was like, okay. So I auditioned for it and got it. And then a career was born.
Okay, yeah. So based on that, your game is actually about celebrity audiobook narrators. We're going to play you a clip. You just have to tell us who the celebrity is or what book they're reading, or if you want to be all fancy, you can tell us both.
Oh, damn.
So let's give it a shot. And if you do well enough, listener Jason Polson from American Fork, Utah, is going to win a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Now you have a motivation.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, here we go. This I Got You, Babe singer read this children's book about animals who are not very accepting.
But how big he was, and all gray, and compared to the other ducklings, how ugly.
Cher?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known it was Cher if you hadn't said, I got you, babe.
Oh, yeah?
You didn't sound like her.
That's her reading The Ugly Duckling. This is a line from the book. What a strange-looking one you are, but that won't matter to us as long as you don't marry into our family. The poor little duckling had no thought of marrying. He only wanted a quiet place to rest and a little water to drink.
Oh, no. That's awful.
I know.
They read that to children?
They yeah, not anymore, clearly. This action movie star has a very particular set of skills, including conducting a train to Santa's workshop.
As our train drew closer to the center of the North Pole, we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets with Santa's helpers.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's right.
He's also, like, he's, like, smoking hot. That's a smoking hot man.
Liam Neeson, yeah, smoking
yeah,
hot?
Yeah, yeah. I generally know their voices.
Do you know the book?
No.
The Polar Express? When Liam Neeson reads this version, a kid gets kidnapped. Terrible. Okay, this is your last clue. She won an Oscar for her work in Les Miserables and may be angling for a role in Wicked based on this audiobook performance.
We cannot be far from the road of yellow brick now, remarked the Scarecrow as he stood beside the girl.
Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Yes, that is correct. And do you know the book?
It's The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's correct as well. Well done. I'd say you're pretty amazing at that, but let's toss it over. Puzzaker Archung, how did our special guest do?
Congratulations, Mojan. You and Jason Polson both win Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Yay! The Blacklist returns with new episodes in January and airs on Wednesdays on NBC. Give it up for Mojan Marno, everybody. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our next two contestants will play a game that fell off the Weekend Edition Sunday truck this morning. Let's meet them. First up, Catherine Miller on buzzer number one. You're a contract attorney and have a fascination with crimes and criminal law. Welcome.
Thank you.
Catherine, let's first talk about a weird fascination with crime and criminal law?
I mean, it's semi-healthy. I'm just obsessed with, you know, mass murders and crime shows, but I don't do anything. I just read about it, you know.
Okay. Do you think you could commit a crime?
No.
Okay. Do you think you could get into the mind of a criminal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that fun?
It can be.
It can be?
Yeah. I try to think of, I guess, how I would do it and how I'd get away and see how I think the show's going to end.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like it. It's very smart.
Thank you.
Your opponent is Leah Berkowitz on buzzer number two. You are a rabbi in Poughkeepsie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Leah, what is the weirdest thing as a rabbi you've been asked to do in your community?
I was once asked to bless the opening of a Golden Corral buffet restaurant.
Don't remember the last time I had a fine meal at the Golden Corral, but I'm going to say not very kosher.
No, it is not. I actually wasn't available that evening, so I wasn't able to do the blessing. And the restaurant closed after 6 weeks.
That's what happens.
Yep.
Sad. That's a sad story all around.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of people that could have gotten together and saved a Golden Corral. Remember, Catherine and Leah, win two games and you get to our final round. So let's go to your first game. We've got a word game for you called Letters Which. In this game, we took common phrases that are two words long and shifted one of the letters to make a different, funnier two-word phrase. Puzzaker Archung, will you please give us an example?
I sure will. So if I said, start with the most watched U.S. sports event of the year, end with a fantastic bird of prey, you'd answer Super Bowl and superb owl. So the hint is the letter that shifts will always be the first letter of the second word in the phrase.
We'll do it together. Yeah, we're all here.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Here we go. Start by reformatting your essay to make it twice as long. End with the speed of a tennis match where players are in teams of two. Leah.
Double space and doubles pace.
That's right. That is well done.
Start with a platter for carrying chai or Earl Grey. End with a laser that shoots from a cow's udder. Leah.
Tea tray and teat ray.
That is correct.
Yeah. Nice.
Don't drink that milk.
Start with an actor who played George McFly in Back to the Future. End with someone who enjoys thoroughly cooked bacon. Leah.
Crispin Glover and Crisping Lover?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I was like, Michael J. Foxy something? Totally wrong.
I like that you were laughing at the thought of this answer in your brain, Leah.
Yeah, the bacon thing, you know, that's not...
Yeah. For a rabbi, that's a big moment. Yeah. Bacon has to... We covet.
Start with a raw cabbage salad side dish. End with a rule made by fashion designer Kenneth. Leah.
Coleslaw and coleslaw?
That's right.
All right, this is your last clue. Start with what you need in your hand when you slalom down the slopes. End with what happens when you don't cheer for a matador.
You got this.
Leah?
Ski poles and skip olays.
Yeah, that's nice. Correct. Puzzaker Archung, how did our contestants do?
Leah is like you're born to play that game. Well done. You're one step closer to our final round.
If you've ever stayed up late, looking up at the stars and thought about how small we are compared to the infinite vastness of the universe, you should be a contestant on our show. Just go to amatickets.org. Coming up, Jonathan Colton will parody our favorite grunge band's hit about deodorant. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
With more and more information coming at you all day, every day, it can be hard to know where to focus. The new Consider This newsletter from NPR can be that focus. Every weekday afternoon, we take one of the day's biggest stories and break it down in a simple, skimmable format so you can get a better grasp of one important topic and what it means for you in a couple of minutes. Sign up for free at npr.org/consider-this-newsletter.
Numbers that explain the economy. We love them at The Indicator from Planet Money, and on Fridays, we discuss indicators in the news, like job numbers, spending, the cost of food, sometimes all three.
So my indicator is about why you might need to bring home more bacon to afford your eggs. I'll be here all week.
Wrap up your week and listen to the Indicator podcast from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Archung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. We are here with contestants Catherine and Leah, and during the break, we all changed into flannels, ripped jeans, and combat boots for our next music parody game. Just kidding, the 90s are back. We're kind of already wearing that. Let's check in with our contestants. Catherine, You are obsessed with the song Ice Ice Baby?
Yes, okay. That is true.
Okay, why? Why that song?
I don't know. When I was in high school, I was in a pageant, and I danced to that song for my talent. And then one of my good friends and I, we actually won a talent show and was flown to the Philippines based on that song.
You won a talent show singing that song?
Yeah, our office, they put together this talent show, and they wanted to make sure all the offices across the world got to know each other. So we competed here in New York and won, and they flew us to the Philippines to put on a show.
Are you singing and dancing, or are you...
Yeah, we rewrote lyrics to the song, to the tune of Ice Ice Baby, and then we performed it.
To be about?
Our work. So, yeah, it had to be, I think it was themed. We had to do, I don't know, we rewrote it to what we do as attorneys at our company.
Can you give me one line just so I can get it?
You know, I thought
head?
Of it on the way here and I don't remember. Besides stop, collaborate, and listen. I know we started that.
Stop, you know? Collaborate, and listen.
That's how it starts.
That's pretty good. I like that already.
Leah, when you are not performing official rabbi duties and you're just hanging out with your friends, are you hanging out with other rabbis or atheists?
Actually, all of my friends up in Poughkeepsie are priests and ministers, and I have one priest with me tonight.
Is that the person who keeps going woo very loudly in the back?
Yes, it is. That's good. I like it. Do you argue about faith?
We usually just talk about what's going on in our congregations.
Yeah,
okay. Those are the only people who would believe what's going on.
Okay, so you do that and go on outings or hang out?
Yes, actually, for our friend Heather's 40th birthday, we went. Heather and I went skydiving.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sounded like you all went skydiving.
Oh, no, just the two of us. The priest didn't want to come.
Really? The priest did not want to take a leap of faith.
It was just the minister and the rabbi. She ruined the joke.
Okay, let's go to your next game. Catherine, when you think of being a teen, what smell comes to mind?
Noxzema face wash.
Yes!
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. That smell is amazing. Yes, good answer. Leah, when you think of being a teen, what smell comes to mind?
Banaka mouth spray.
Whoa! Okay, what? I can't even think of what that is, but it's a mouth spray. What did you use it for?
I didn't use it. The boys in our school were obsessed with it, so they were
minty.
Constantly going like, ch-ch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
you got to keep your mouth minty fresh just in case a girl kisses you. Doesn't ever happen.
Just
but
in case.
Just in case.
So your next game is a music parody game called Sounds Like Teen Spirit. Leah, you won the last game, so you win this, and you're in the final round. Catherine, you need to win this, or we'll make you join our improv team called Nirvanhaha. So, here we are now. Jonathan, entertain us.
All right, I will. We rewrote Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit to make it about words that end with the sound teen, as in routine or nicotine. So just ring in and answer. Here we go.
Miss Antoinette, she lost her head because her people had no bread. They could eat cake, but instead to this contraption she was led.
Leah.
Guillotine?
Guillotine is correct.
They don't want to risk infection. It's for everyone's protection. This new virus is contagious. They can find us. It's outrageous.
Hint?
Well,
yeah, maybe a hint.
If you're very contagious, the doctors might put you in this.
Leah?
Quarantine?
Quarantine is right.
Nice.
Malted powder, chocolate flavor, add to milk, a taste to savor. Yum.
Leah.
Ovaltine.
Ovaltine, you got it.
We checked, they still make it, just so you know. They still make
they
it.
They still make it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
These crackers made from floury dough, I fill my mouth with them and blow. My whistle fails, and though I try, I can't make noise, my mouth's too dry.
Catherine.
Saltine.
Saltine, that's right. Comes in flavors made for chewing. Got no sugar, nothing doing. What's your dentist so afraid of? Sounds like what your teeth are made of.
It's a thing you chew and it's sugarless.
Catherine.
Dentine?
Dentine is right.
I know you're both were trying to get Trident in there, but you're like, teen dent, how does this work?
Teen dent.
Teen dent.
It's about a haunted Plymouth, Stephen King book, gruesome finish. Ew. Leah.
Christine.
Christine is right.
I was so scared of Plymouths after that movie.
That was a very creepy movie.
They all are. I mean, thanks to Stephen King, I was scared of hotels, twins, yeah. Cars, clowns.
Vampires.
Vampires, telekinesis.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You take some fries and add cheese curd to come up with this foreign word. Then add some gravy, just a speck. They like to eat it in Quebec. Leah.
Poutine.
Poutine, you got it.
This is your last clue.
It's in orange things, helps your vision. Make a healthy food decision. Eat some spinach, you can bear it. Sweet potatoes or a carrot. Vitamin A, vitamin A, vitamin A. Catherine.
Carotene?
Carotene or beta-carotene, that is correct. Art Chung, how'd they do?
Well done, Leah. You won both games, and you're moving on to the final round.
While Giacomo and Leah get ready for the final round, it's time for us to play a game. This is Mystery Guest. A stranger is about to join us on stage. Jonathan and I have no idea what this person does or what makes them special, but our puzzle guru, Art Chung, does.
That's right, Ophira. You and Jonathan will work together as a team to figure out our Mystery Guest's secret by asking yes or no questions. Mystery Guest, please introduce yourself.
Hi there. I'm Chloe Swantner, and I ply an unusual trade here in the city.
You ply an unusual trade.
Is this trade something you have to train for?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Are you a performer of some kind?
Nope.
Are you making a physical product?
Yes.
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 It's not a product of the mind.
No.
No. Do you work with your hands to make this thing?
Definitely.
Sort of an artisan.
Yes, crafty.
Is there a particular substance that you need to make these things?
Definitely.
You have a glint in your eye right now. So this substance that you use is clearly unique and interesting. Is it mercury?
Is it uranium?
No.
Is it an element?
It is.
All right.
Or it's not an element.
No, it's not a scientific element.
It's not a scientific element. Mm.
It's not a scientific element.
Mm-hmm. So it's a compound of some kind. It's some atoms. But disparate atoms linked together in molecules.
But maybe it does mean it's synthetic?
Probably synthetic. I don't know. That's a good question.
Is it a synthetic situation?
Not usually.
It's a trade.
Yeah, it's a trade.
You might also characterize it as a craft.
Are there fibers involved? Your yarns?
I don't want to mislead you. No.
Not primarily.
No, not primarily.
What else are crafts?
Glass? Is there glass?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you make things out of wood?
Indeed.
Okay, we did it, everybody.
Would I have this item in my house?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you make cuckoo clocks?
No.
furniture of some
no.
kind?
No.
Is it art?
No.
I mean, I want.
No,
I mean,
it's functional.
It's functional.
Functional.
Yeah.
Functional. Yeah. Okay. Are you making the actual structure of a house?
No.
Are you making things that are tools or utensils?
Yes. And I think you are pretty familiar with this tool.
Oh, she's giving hints as she speaks.
Do you make guitars?
Very close, yes.
Do you make some kind of musical instrument?
Yes.
Very close.
Are you a luthier?
Yeah. Ah.
So Chloe is the co-founder of Brooklyn Luthery, a restoration and repair shop for stringed instruments like guitars and violins. But in addition, Chloe builds custom violin family instruments on commission. She's currently building a mandola, which is related to the mandolin.
So I imagine you play instruments.
I do, yeah.
And then what was the trajectory in your career path that led you to want to be, you know, to be making them and restoring them?
I'm from a family of people who work with their hands, and so that was attractive alone. I met a luthier while I was going to college, and I just was really attracted to how portable the trade could be, actually. It's all hand tools, and the fascination began there.
Through the restorations that you do, has anyone brought you something that you were too scared to work on because of its value, or maybe it was just so far gone?
So far gone, I would say. Yeah. We get some really intriguing instruments through our shop. I've never been too scared because of value or anything, but we do have to say no to nightmare cases.
Yeah. Somebody brings in a violin that's been run over by a car. You're like, I can't.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. And how long does it take for you to make
like a violin?
Yeah, how about a violin? That's like a big deal, I imagine.
It's pretty time-consuming. I guess if I was doing it full-time, 5 days a week, it probably would take me 3 months to build a violin.
Wow.
Probably people are faster, but no, it's really involved. It's really involved.
Honestly, Chloe, it's just a few pieces of wood, and then put the pegs down on the wires. It's not hard. It doesn't seem that hard.
You know, from firewood to like a varnished violin. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
And what's the hardest thing about building a violin?
Probably just the like titillation of not knowing what it's going to sound like till you're completely finished, I think, is the hardest part. Yeah.
Fantastic. Everyone give it up for our mystery guest, Chloe Swatner. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Giacomo Santangelo, who uses Sleeping Beauty to teach about John Stuart Mill. And Leah Berkowitz, a rabbi who once was asked to bless a golden corral. Pusiger Archung, take it away.
Thanks, Ophira. Giacomo and Leah, your final round is called The In Crowd. Every answer is a three-word phrase or hyphenate that contains the word in. For example, if I said female parent of one spouse, frequently depicted in comedy as an overbearing or meddling presence, you'd say mother-in-law. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Mojan Marnow. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Giacomo is going first. Here we go. Giacomo, it's a golf term for a lucky shot when a ball hit from the tee finishes in the cup.
A hole in one.
That is correct. Leah, expression used to wish someone who has passed away a state of tranquility in death.
Rest in peace.
That is correct. Giacomo, term that refers to the U.S. president's role in relation to the U.S. armed forces.
Commander-in-chief.
That is right. Leah, military term abbreviated with the letters MIA.
Missing in action.
That's right. Giacomo, a woman whose official job is to attend to the needs of a queen or princess.
Lady in waiting.
That's right. Leah, Bonnie and Clyde, Leopold and Loeb, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid are all examples of this term for accomplices committing illegal acts.
Partners in crime.
That's right. Giacomo, a 1997 film about agents J and K who police extraterrestrial life forms on Earth.
Men in Black.
That's right. Leah, a recurring Muppet Show sketch set aboard the USS Swinetrek featuring Captain Link Hogthrob and Dr. Julius Strange Pork.
Pigs in space.
That's right. More bacon. We're at the halfway point, and the score is tied at 4 points each. Giacomo, Figure of speech used to indicate irony involving the placement of a muscular mouth organ.
Tongue in cheek.
That's right. Leah, Scott Baio sitcom about a student taking care of three children while attending college.
Charles in Charge.
That's right. Giacomo, number one hit for Beyonce in 2003 that went on to win Grammys for Best R&B Song and Best Rap / Song Collaboration.
Crazy in Love.
That's right. Leah, 2000 Christopher Guest film about quirky dog owners.
Best in Show.
That's right. Giacomo, a two-part 1990s Tony and Pulitzer winning Tony Kushner play about the AIDS crisis.
Angels in America.
That's right. Leah, a 1924 George Gershwin composition combining elements of classical music and jazz, later used in United Airlines ads.
Rhapsody in Blue.
That's right. Score is tied. You each have one question left. Giacomo, this 1987 comedy about a night of childcare gone awry was Christopher Columbus's directorial debut.
Adventures in Babysitting.
That's right. Leah, you need this question correct to stay in the game. A 2002 romantic comedy starring Jennifer Lopez and Ray Fine.
Made in Manhattan.
That is right. Well done. Well done, guys. We're going to a tiebreaker. Hands on your buzzers. It's a common Mother's Day treat. This involves serving the first meal of the day to someone while they're still on their mattress. Leah.
Breakfast in bed.
That is correct.
You're both amazing. Well done. Came down to the buzzer, and it was a great game. Thank you so much, Giacomo. And congratulations, Leah. That's our show. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is Archung.
Hey, my name anagrams to Narc Thug.
Our house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Thou Jolta Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Eric Feinstein, Greg Pliska, and senior writers Greg Lightman and J. Keith Van Stratton. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katz of Travis Larchuk, Julia Melfi, Denny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern Madeline Kaplan, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Noriko Akabe, and David Hurtgen. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, The Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harape Pagonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
Hey, podcast listeners. We love keeping you company in the comfort of your own home or car, but how about coming over to our place for a change? Join us for a live taping. Coming up from the Broadway musical Waitress, Jason Mraz. Plus, in the new year, we'll be at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. So check out amatickets.org for info on all of our upcoming shows. Next time on Ask Me Another, we talk to Janine Garofalo and Lily Taylor about the Broadway revival of Marvin's Room. Plus, in these politically charged times, Lily shares a cause we can all get behind.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm trying to get the word out about birds.
Yeah.
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, for NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
There's a lot to stay on top of on any given day. You might have to break things down into smaller pieces in order to keep up. That's why we're introducing the new Consider This newsletter from NPR. Every weekday, we sift through all the day's news and bring you one big story in an easily skimmable format, so you become a mini expert on a major topic each day. Sign up for free at npr.org/consider-this-newsletter.
What does it sound like to record an album inside a jail? On the documentary podcast, Track Change, you'll hear four men make music inside Richmond City Jail and hear how they're trying to break free from a cycle of addiction and incarceration.
Been so long since I've been free.
Listen to Track Change from Narratively and VPM, part of the NPR network.
Here at Planet Money, we bring complex economic ideas down to earth. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain the way money shapes our lives. Inflation, recessions, the price of gas, we've got you. Listen now to the Planet Money podcast from NPR.